If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations to caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You're going to win two tickets to see The Offspring, supercharged worldwide in 25. Saturday, July 19th is the show. It's at Jiffy Lube Live. Special guest Jimmy Eat World, Newfound Glory. That is a silly
That's concert. A silly little lineup right there.
I get sized. Tickets on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. You might see your pal there if everything works out for me.
How about that?
That sounds like a concert and a half. I love it. Somebody's going to win those right now.
We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Beltway Blitz time. Let's start it off on the diamond. Chelsea James. Chelsea, before we talk about a big picture piece that you wrote on Major League Baseball, thoughts on the Nats who just swept the Orioles? Brandon Hyde gets fired. My guy Kyle Gibson gets DFA'd. The Nats left a bunch of damage behind them after leaving Baltimore with a sweep, huh?
They did. And, you know, for me, the contrast with the Orioles and their young core and how stressed out that group looks compared to where these Nats are in their progression with no expectations. And, you know, it's, you know, they're fun to watch. They haven't been perfect this year. They probably should have a better record. They should have a better bullpen, you know, that in the front office kind of needs to rework that as they go. But, I think they're a fun group. They're pretty fearless. And CJ Abrams is kind of back to exactly what you thought he would be.
Chelsea, do you think anything's going to change for these two ownership groups now that, you know, the animosity of the Masson situation is behind them? Like, will the spending start ever? ...
You know, I think in Baltimore it will. It has a little bit. It hasn't worked, but I think it'll continue. The Nats, you know, I think that the questions around them are all, you know, internal. You know, the family has just kind of been stuck for a few years. Do we sell? Do we not sell? Do we turn this team into a winner and then sell? Are we willing to spend, you know, to turn them into a winner if we might sell? You know, so we don't have answers to any of those questions, and I'm not sure they do either. So for now, I think they're stuck. I think kind of maybe the only thing that forces their hand is either a total falling apart of the Nats or a really strong stretch here that forces them to make a choice about whether they want to add to this group right now.
Odd to talk Orioles, but coming off of a series where we were watching them for three straight days play the Nats, do you think firing Brandon Hyde is going to get them turned around in any way? I mean, they got bigger fish to fry right now, don't they? And I don't think he shouldn't have been fired. I see all these people. He must be a really good guy because all the media is jumping to his defense. I thought he absolutely should have been fired. I don't see any reason for him to keep his job. But at the same time, I also think Elias has some questions to answer.
Yeah, I think, you know, Hyde was always going to be the first to go. I mean, it's not politically correct to say it, but I think he was always the shield, right? Like, I think even maybe from the day he was hired, he was the shield. He was the guy that you could have pointed to if the talent didn't work and say, oh, we'll bring in someone else. So I don't think it's surprising. I don't think it's the wrong decision. They were just stuck. They couldn't get out of their heads. And you know, so far they haven't with Tony Mancino. I don't know that that's going to be the answer because these are all the same faces and same voices that, you know, have struggled to kind of get this team out of a rut now for almost a full year. You know, they really slowed down in the second half last year too. So I don't know. I think they've got some structural stuff going on there. I think they need to figure out how to develop pitching and certainly how to acquire it. But, you know, there's also a lot of talent. So if they do get hot, you know, they're not, it's not incomprehensible that they could make this interesting, but right now it feels incomprehensible that they could win back-to-back games. And until that changes, I don't know how they dig out of that.
Chelsea, let's talk about your piece in the Post. Good per usual, I might add. That's my own editorial. This is like, let's try this. Change brought up for Major League Baseball. Players express doubts. People are dubious. Change works fine. No one remembers the argument anymore. This feels like the latest one to go along with the pitch clock, with the DH, with shifts, with everything else to modernize this thing. It just sort of feels like it's, oh my God, a change. I have to reflexively say no. Let's get Max Scherzer for comment. This seems to just work too well. What's the beef?
You know my exact template now. I've been doing it for years, you know. Problem, call back Scherzer and somebody's angry. I think it is very similar. I think ABS, everyone wants to be really careful with for all the obvious reasons, because I do think that the players are rightfully skeptical of handing MLB the reins to something that is sort of like so crucial to their being. I mean, you know, it's crazy, but it's not that crazy if they push a button and suddenly, you know, the strike zone's different, because they kind of, you know, asked the umpires to call a tighter zone this year, you know, without widely publicizing it. But other than that, you know, I think the challenge system, they'll get to a point where everyone's comfortable. I think it might not be next year, but I think it's coming, you know. And I think also that as soon as you get a close call in a huge game down the stretch, everyone's mind is going to, you know, the players will suddenly realize this is probably something we can handle if it's going to avoid these moments at the end of games where we're sitting and looking at, you know, the umpire Twitter accounts wondering why, you know, why we're not in the playoffs instead of, you know, on first base.
Chelsea, what is the fear, though, really? I mean, what is the big boogeyman under the bed here? I would understand if what I actually want, which God forbid we get, which is fully automated strike zone, was coming to Major League Baseball, if the players were like, oh, no, it's terrible. You can't do that. We have to be able to frame, and catchers are not going to be as important. This is not that. This is 99.9% of the time, umpires still get to screw everything up. And very occasionally, we're going to correct them when need be, when the situation is so important that the team deems it so. What is the fear here?
I don't know. You know, and in talking to people, I thought the fear was going to be that this was the gateway drug, right? That this opened the door for MLB to do robo umps and never look back. That's not true. MLB is very clear, and even the union believes them, which is how you know, when they say they don't want that because fans say they hate it. So, okay, that's tabled. Maybe that changes down the road. I don't know. But outside of that, I'm really not sure. I think it's a change. I think everyone's really, really sensitive to that, obviously. But I think messing with the strike zone sort of makes these guys feel a little more, I don't know, able to, you know, hit minuscule millimeter distances than they actually are. You know, there's error now. So if the machine changes the zone a little bit, that, you know, and it's not what you're used to, you'll figure that out like you do an umpire day to day. So I don't know. I think it's going to work, and I think it's going to be very similar to the pitch clock, where we forget we never had it and are very glad we did.
Chelsea, awesome as always. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
We will talk soon. Hit that Local 53 sounder, please. Our guy Earl Forsey joins us to talk about that Local 53. Earl, do you expect a swing for Trey Hendrickson? Maybe one of these other free agent defensive ends that are names, maybe best days behind them on one of those, you know, one-year specials that they seem to like to do?
Well, I'd like to see that. Football season already? Geez, it's catching up to me. Mid-May. Good to talk to you guys. It's been a while. I would like to see that. I'm not sure it's going to happen, guys. I mean, there probably are other landing spots. Detroit possibly is what a lot of people think. If something happened with him that might be better, maybe they could make it work better. He would have a running mate in Detroit, for an example. I know it's the perceived weakness of this team, but who are the top pass rushers right now? Trey Hendrickson, Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt up in Pittsburgh, right? I mean, I hit the top three. How many Super Bowls have they won for their teams? I think I count zero right now. So, look, it's important. They have the most important piece now of the puzzle to build around. That's five. That's what they did in the draft, you know, shoring up the offensive line. Before the draft, training for Tunsil, drafting another tackle. They're going to put out potentially a center and four tackles on the offensive line. So I'd like to see it. You'd like to have all the pieces, but, you know, you can't have them all, I think, is the thing. It would cost a lot of money. Obviously, this is a big deal for him with the money. Cincinnati may or may not come up with it, but if they did, guys, then we'd hear, oh, well, they're trading away the future. No more draft picks. They only have five picks. I mean, so that's the flip side, that they have taken an approach that some people don't like, and they would have to really, you know, kind of dive in head first to that approach if you make a swing in Henderson, because it's going to take a lot to get him if you did.
Earl, what's your take on the Commanders running back situation? You know, we had Ben Standing of The Athletic on the show in the last week. He said he's not convinced that they don't still make a move, whether that's trade somebody or still bring somebody in. There was a ESPN piece today, free agent fits for 25 remaining players. They had J.K. Dobbins to the Commanders. Right. What do you think?
I think it's possible because I don't think probably eventually that this is probably the final year of Brian Robinson. I don't think with this staff, with this regime, he's ultimately the answer. Good guy. And look, from the way things started for him around here, his life was on the line, you know, when he got shot and all this stuff, you know, to come back and do what he's done, it's great. I think, first of all, Austin Eckler, healthy again, your guy. Hopefully you have him on again next year. Hopefully he's healthy and not fumbling the football in the playoffs. But that's one of your pieces. And I think the rookie, the guy they drafted at the end, may have a role. Now, it's tough for me to say that because these back end of the draft guys, if you get first, second round picks that play right away, that's what you're looking for. Everybody wants the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounder. Well, he didn't start last year. It's a bust. He blew the pick. No, he didn't. Draft is draft and develop. And those back-end guys, you know, sometimes you hit on some right away, they step in. Sometimes they don't. Those are guys you're looking for 2 and 3 years down the line. I've been saying it till I'm blue in the face this offseason. That is still the problem. They have not yet resolved because it's impossible to do. You know, the farm system was non-existent with this team when they took over because of the previous regime, the coaches, everything. They had no players. The basis of their team, the first and second round guys, weren't there. So part of why they've had to go free agency in these one-year deal rental players is to shore up the team, the base of your team that should be there from the guys you picked the last 3 or 4 years aren't there, so you got to find them somewhere. So down the line, I think those back-end picks are going to play. And maybe that running back does because I think it's still TBD, guys. But my other part of that is Deebo Samuel is going to take a big part of that role. He's going to be probably lining up in the backfield. He's going to be getting some carries. He's going to be catching the football in various different formations. So part of that may just be Deebo Samuel's role now with the team.
Earl, who has more touches, assuming health, in this football season? Rookie Jalen Lane or Luke McCaffrey?
Good question, because are you counting special teams too? Because I think they got the return guy. I mean, When Adam Peters, you know, on the phone, that draft call they showed him, the first thing he says is, you know, return guy. I mean, so I think you see what you have there with just flat-out speed. And I think, my opinion, watching the NFC Championship game, to me, the glaring – look, there's a few glaring differences. Obviously, Philly's top to bottom a better team. But because of some of the roles they've had to fill, veteran players, and this is probably why they made some of the moves, they needed to upgrade their team speed. And this has been obviously theme number one with the RAS scores that they go by, all these athletic, analytics that they you know, preach and they go by. They use them as gospel, basically, if you look at the way they draft. It's important. And this is back to the draft and develop. You know, find a guy, find an athlete. He's a receiver. I know he's not, you know, a number one guy. You didn't draft Justin Jefferson to come in here and play right away, wide receiver one, but there's a role. And again, the first two guys are set with McLaurin and Deebo Samuel. You're looking for 3 and 4 guys, and, you know, McCaffrey probably still a work in progress, guys. He was a quarterback 2 years ago. Still, I mean, the Edelman story is the success story for that, right? And it took him 2 or 3 years really to start finding a regular role on their team. And they had that luxury back then in New England. They don't have the luxury here. So I would think those snaps are going to be there. I mean, De'Ami Brown's not here anymore. And this kid, you know, everything you hear about him and you listen to him, just a great dude. And he's got Tyreek Hill measurables. So I'm not comparing players, but that's what you could potentially be adding to your lineup if you put him in there. So I think he's going to get, if all possible, he's going to get a lot of the action, you know, other than Luke McCaffrey probably, and you know, then it opens the door for people to complain about that pick. But that's what we're here for, right? It'd be nice if both of them see the field. Because look, having depth is a good thing. Isn't this a nice thing? Finally, you have a quarterback. You don't have to worry about that anymore for the next decade. That's set. Now you're just adding some pieces, and they've added a lot. Minicamp's going to be interesting to see the reaction because, you know, Grant, last year it was rave reviews from day one, from second one on Jaden Daniels, where in the past it was, oh, I don't know if this guy can play. He's a lot of balls hitting the ground. So that's going to be interesting to see the reaction when all these guys get together for the 3 days coming up in a few weeks to see if we hear the same thing about some of these guys they brought in. I like the draft. I like the offseason. I'd love to see a pass rusher here, but, you know, we can't all have everything, right?
So, it would be nice to, though. Earl, thank you, buddy.
It would be great. But that happens eventually, you know? Eventually down the line, maybe you find somebody. But, you know, again, is Trey Hendrickson winning any Super Bowls for the Cincinnati Bengals lately?
But you can do that about a lot of players at a lot of positions.
You could, Grant. Yeah. But
I'd rather have TJ Watt than not.
Right. He didn't want any Super Bowls either.
But would you rather have Jaden Daniels or trade for Myles Garrett?
I could have him and
right. You want everything.
Trey Hendrickson.
You want everything. Now you're getting greedy, and that's good.
I want an edge. I wanted an edge first. They wanted everything. They wanted to do other things.
Yeah.
I want an edge.
I know, but you can't complain when you bring in maybe one of the top three offensive tackles in football for a team that's had that since Ron couldn't, you know, make friends with one of the great players' recent franchise history.
They really could.
I love the Tunsil.
You know, it's tough to do both. I'm with you, but if they came down to that decision, they were fine with that. And you can argue. I think the argument is: should you have drafted the Oregon tackle, the kid, or should you have drafted reached on a defensive tackle? I think you got a better player at his position in Connerly Jr. than you would have at a defensive tackle, a defensive end, a pass rusher at that point. So I'm fine with it. I mean, I don't think Adam Peters is worried about what I think about or anybody.
Earl saying on the Blitz? All right, Earl, we got to keep it moving. We appreciate you.
Thank
brother.
You, buddy.
He's going to rock concerts with a backwards hat.
So. He's loving life right now, and
yeah,
he should be.
I would be too.
Earl Forsey, boys and girls, you'll be hearing him every 30 here on The Fan. Let's talk hockey. Sammy Silver, the hockey news. Sammy, I believe the GM and the team president spoke today. What did we learn?
Yeah, no, we learned that this is a team that, you know, is positive about the future. You know, they obviously, you know, talked about how the Carolina series, there's a small, you know, margin for error there. And, you know, maybe that there's some areas that they need to address. They're going to approach free agency the same way they usually do, see areas they can, you know, improve in and go from there. But the team's goal is to keep, you know, transitioning to getting younger. It's a mature group right now. So a lot of promise for the future.
The tongue-in-cheek question is they shouldn't finish in the top four in points next year, right? But the real question, I guess, would be, is there something to maybe not putting the pedal to the metal for the regular season and being able to ramp up for the postseason? Is there some merit there? I'm looking for a way to not lose the first or second round just for the second time in the last couple of decades.
Yeah, it all depends, right? I mean, you see it with the playoffs now. I mean, the top four teams are no longer in it, right? And it really just goes to show how different, you know, playoff hockey is. It's a different beast. It's more intense. And yeah, like the wear and tear of the regular season really does weigh down on you. So I think, you know, looking at the situation as a whole, there are areas that the Caps saw that they need to address. You know, maybe they want to add another skill player. Maybe they, you know, want to inject some of their younger guys, get more speed. But at the same time, maybe you want to add a little bit more experience so that, you know, you have players who have been through the ringer and know what it takes, right? So a lot of different areas to address. I don't necessarily think that there's something said for, we don't want to have, you know, as much success as we did in the regular season. You know, of course you want to succeed and do your best there. But we'll see where it goes. But, they're confident in the future and they're younger guys.
What does their off-season to-do list look like? What are the top items, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think they're going to get together this week and they're kind of got to look at their pending free agents and see where they stand there. So obviously seeing the players that they want to bring back, right? And then you go from there. Third line center is definitely an area they want to address, whether they do that internally with somebody like, you know, Connor McMichael, you know, playing the center or maybe seeing where Hendrix Lapierre is at or maybe they go external and see, you know, one of the names in free agency. They could go that route. But they definitely want to bolster that bottom six and add some secondary scoring and maybe a skill player there because, you need offensively on your stars. So I think they start there, and it's something to build on.
Doesn't sound like an extension is imminent for John Carlson. Should we be reading into that at all, or pipe down, Danny?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, he's eligible to sign the extension, you know, July 1st, but, you know, as they kind of said today, you know, nothing imminent on that front, and they're going to see, and, you know, where things play out. I think you look at the blue line, the future of the blue line, and all the youth that the team has in the system, and you want to start, you know, they really want to start transitioning to a younger group. It's been a very mature, you know, same core for a lot of years, and you want to kind of see where it goes before, you know, put pen to paper and taking a gamble there. And, you know, that's an expensive player, and it's also an important player. He's done so much for the blue line over the years, and, you know, I think you assess where your prospects are at and where they are in their careers and where they're ready to jump and how they're willing to fit in, and then you go, you know, it's a process, right? You can't just put, you know, all your eggs in one basket, so definitely a wait-and-see approach to them.
Sammy, thank you. We appreciate you.
Thank you. See you guys.
Good info, as always. You got it. There's Sammy Silber, the Hockey News. That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. All right, let's dive into the running back position. We just addressed it with Earl. We had Standing on the show late last week. He hinted at the idea that he's just not sold that this is going to be the group going into the season. What does that look like? What does that mean? And how about ESPN saying J.K. Dobbins' best landing spot would be Washington, the former Charger? That's all coming up on G&D.
T-Mobile will give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well-qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody asked me on my over on Athletic the other day, who's this year's Jahan Dotson that gets traded or gets moved that you wouldn't see? I still wonder about the running back room. Is there something else to happen there? Is Brian Robinson the definitive answer? He's not a three down back, not a much of a factor in the passing game. Do they want something? Do they want a group that's more well rounded? I don't know that there's somebody else to get, but that's the one thing I wonder going in reverse is that maybe. There's a move to be made there. But other than that, I don't know if there's that much that I'm going to have to get done here, even if I'm Adam Peters and have that power.
So that was pretty interesting content, I thought, from Ben Standing of The Athletic on the show on Friday, suggesting he's just not convinced that the running back room looks now like it will when the season begins. And that's compelling because they're kind of loaded up there in terms of the roster, right? You've got Robinson, a veteran under contract. Eckler, who they've paid, their pass catcher, their third down guy under contract. You've got McNichols, who's kind of the Eckler understudy, who also spelled Robinson last year, maybe as a third back. Chris Rodriguez, yet another veteran on the roster, who was very good when he got opportunities.
When he gets a chance, he runs hard. I mean, the Atlanta game? There was a play where no one was doing anything on the ground, and there was a fourth and five or some kind of whatever it was. Heat of the moment, a pitch where he made six guys miss, ran in for a touchdown. You're going, that earned him more opportunities to not dress for a handful of weeks.
He was kind of a better version of Robinson in that role in terms of the big, powerful thumper back. But Robinson obviously got a lot more carries and work. And then you drafted a running back in the seventh round in Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, who, if he makes the roster, I think he could be ticketed for the practice squad. It would mean that McNichols doesn't or Rodriguez doesn't or maybe both don't. But that's five guys that I just named for you. Robinson, Eckler, McNichols, Rodriguez, and Krosky Merritt. So one of them's a draft pick, doesn't have to make it, clearly, late round pick. Everyone else has kind of been handpicked by this regime in a sense. I mean, Robinson was drafted before they got here. He's not their guy. Eckler was signed by them. McNichols was signed by them. Rodriguez was drafted before them. But they could have cut Rodriguez last year and didn't. They kept him around. They could have, at some point, moved on from Robinson this offseason. They chose not to. So they have, in varying degrees, chosen to do business with all of the players on this depth chart. But you heard Standing. It came up because he was asked, is there a John Dotson surprise player that gets traded or isn't with the team? And he kind of thought about that. And I didn't take that to mean he thinks B-Rob's getting dealt as much as he said it could go the other way, where maybe they still bring in someone who makes somebody else on the team currently expendable. And that brings me to this ESPN piece today. So ESPN.com wrote a story. It was Matt Bowen, our buddy, the former safety here in D.C., and this came out this morning. Best NFL team fits for the remaining best free agents. Also trade candidates. J.K. Dobbins, the free agent running back, linked to best team fit, the Washington Commanders. And here's what Bowen wrote. Finding an ideal fit for a veteran running back is not easy at this point of the offseason, especially for a player with Dobbins' rich injury history. He missed four games with an MCL sprain last season, yet he still managed a career high in rushing yards, 905, and tied a career high in rushing touchdowns, 9. In Cliff Kingsbury's offense in D.C., I could see Dobbins providing competition for Brian Robinson as the early down runner. Dobbins can run between the tackles and has the juice to create big plays on the ground. He took 27 carries for 10 or more yards last season. So let's just start with the premise. Do you agree that there's a good chance, Danny, that the five running backs that we've been talking about here are not all going to be on the roster come training camp, or that maybe somebody gets cut because they bring in a veteran that supplants them?
Yeah, it's larger than zero, less than 100. So I know that doesn't narrow it down terribly far, but I think that's likely. I mean, they're always going to improve on the fringes. I mean, to me, the thing that I've learned about this regime, and again, we've got a sample of 1 year plus, this one free agency period in a draft, where I'm doing the LeBron James gif where I'm pointing. Look at the hole. Look at the problem. Look at the weakness. They usually don't see it the same way, whether they either plan on working around it, whether they don't think it's a big deal, whether they think their guys are better than we think, whatever. They have been successful. You know, last year going into the season, I'm going, I cannot believe this is the O-line. I can't believe this is the receiver core for a rookie quarterback. Offense was awesome. Daniels was great. Everything worked out. Ta-da. Going into this season, I'm going, I can't believe this is the edge group. I can't believe this is the running back room. Wouldn't they want something different? And I think they maybe see it differently than I do. And again, they're usually right. I'm usually just pudgy and stupid. So I think there's a better chance than not that me going, I have no interest in this running back room, really, except for Austin Eckler, who's a bad hit away from not being able to play much anymore. That's the style that I want. They only have one of those guys. Everyone else is Brian Robinson or Brian Robinson Light. I think they like that better than I do. So I think there's a better chance maybe than not of them going in with that kind of group, and whether Rodriguez gets swapped out or Michael Wiley gets swapped out or somebody else for a veteran on the edges. I don't know that they're going to go dip into the pool.
How old do you think Brian Robinson is?
26.
How old do you think J.K. Dobbins is?
He's only been in the league 4 years. 26.
They're the same age.
Yeah.
I think that would surprise a lot of people. Now, Dobbins got to the league quicker, to your point. He missed the 2021 season. So he's actually been in the league for 5 years. He's the same age as Brian Robinson.
There you go.
Robinson's been in the league for 3 years. That's why I bring that up. He, you know, one of those guys made the leap quicker and was just younger when he got to the NFL. So despite two more seasons in the National Football League, they're the exact same age. Dobbins' injury history is just a disaster, though. One of those injuries, I think the preseason 21, was here in Landover. It was actually at then FedEx, where he tore his ACL.
His ACL, that's right.
First of a couple of times. But remember, as a rookie in 2020, he averaged 6 yards per carry as like the number two back for Baltimore on early downs as a 22-year-old. He was awesome. But he only played, you know, he played in 15 games. The next year, he missed the entire season. The year after that, he missed half of the season. He averaged 5.7 a pop. 2023, he played in one game. That was it. Got hurt again. And then last year was the most durable he's been since his rookie year, and he averaged 4.6 per carry. Brian Robinson has never done that.
Right.
Brian Robinson, in his career, he's gotten better every year, to his credit, but he's averaged 3.9, 4.1, and 4.3. Dobbins, in his three seasons where he's had multiple games, you know, 15, 8, and 13 games, he has averaged 6, 5.7, and 4.6.
I mean, he was incredible last year in LA.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
No. But how much of that is, like, they live the lifestyle of running the football.
Right.
That's Jim Harbaugh to the third power, right? I mean, they're a different breed when Harbaugh shows up and preaches running the football every single day. Then Kingsbury was kind of running it to set things up and to get back to what he wants to be doing in the horizontal raid. But still, if you're asking me Dobbins or Robinson, like, and you guaranteed me health for both players, if they both played 16 games this year, who would I rather have tote the mail and you're giving them the exact same carries? I'd rather have J.K. Dobbins.
No question for me.
But there is no such thing as the guaranteed health. And so I'm not going to supplant 26-year-old Robinson for another 26-year-old who's got a way worse injury history.
I think that's very well said. I love the idea of Dobbins. And if it doesn't cost you much, then we could talk about that. But that, like, what scares me...
Would you bring in Dobbins to compete with Robinson, to be with Eckler on that depth chart? Merritt's probably then on the practice squad if it means Rodriguez is out and maybe McNichols is out.
I would do that. I mean, but the thing that I cannot do is go... I don't know how to say this in a better way, so maybe you could try to pull it out of me. Where I would go, okay, my problem is solved, or the position is done. I can't say I will now book J.K. Dobbins for 200 touches. Like, I'd love for that to happen, but come on, man. We've all seen, you've seen the injury history. You
so
know
what
the game's
like.
So it means if it starts to be a bidding war, someone else is going to have to deal with the injured reserve, or someone else is going to have to deal with that. To me, if it's cheap, then he'll help you when he can play.
So I could be wrong. I think we're past bidding war territory. It's May 19th.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bidding war.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a guy that teams are lining up to try to give carries to based on his injury history. Now, he may do the Kirk Cousins thing where Kirk right now is sitting around and going, I'll wait till somebody gets hurt before I start really examining and
I just
looking
had a monster
for
deal, yeah.
trade or whatever. Like, maybe J.K. Dobbins is going, it's about fit for me. And maybe he has turned down a couple opportunities and he's looking for the right money. I guess that's possible. I don't know. But my guess is when the phone rings, he's signing somewhere. If they can guarantee him an opportunity to compete. And here, with Jaden Daniels and read option and the running game possibilities therein, I'd imagine this would be an intriguing landing spot. I think, how do I want to say this? If Dobbins was not an injury concern, it's the most obvious upgrade ever, in my opinion.
Yep.
Because we've seen the B-Rob thing for three seasons now. We know what it looks like. And I'm not anti-Brian Robinson. I think Brian Robinson is a good player, but what you see is what you get. It's going to be about 4 yards per carry. He's not going to get yards that aren't kind of created for him, and he is not going to homer a triple. It's singles and the occasional, very rare, perfectly blocked double. But it's mostly singles. It's 10, 12, 14, 16 yards are your explosives. Whereas Dobbins, with the way he runs, especially after the injury, those little Mighty Mouse legs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he actually is hitting 30 and 40 from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Robinson, everything you said, I echo, but I also think there are probably times where there was something there, where it just, if you just cut back, or if you just saw it. You know, it's easy for me to say on my couch with my feet up, very comfortable, but it just felt like watching him. There are times where you go, dude, it's right there. Oh, and then it's gone.
Where are your feet?
My feet is up.
Okay.
So are his after getting smashed. Oh, thank you. But basically, he's sitting there, or it feels like whether it's a vision question, whether it's an agility question. Again, I like Brian Robinson. He would be on my team. That's a good dude. I want him to play for Smash Mouth times. I'm just not doing the Brian Robinson, everybody. Like that New Orleans game that we were at, where they just kept ramming him into the line of scrimmage, hoping that something would be different. I just don't play it. I just don't do that. I can't.
Now, Commander's Twitter has worked themselves into a frenzy about Brian Robinson, okay? Because he did say the four words that every player says on social media when they feel like they're being talked badly about by the fan base. Keep that same energy. And then he attacked a 100 emoji on it. This was just on Friday, as a matter of fact.
This was Friday?
While he was in the weight room, I guess.
Oh.
Keep that same energy, 100 emoji.
You got it.
Now, I don't know if that means he was keeping it a buck. Or if that means, like, what, Darius, if you don't mind, what does the 100 emoji mean at the end of keep that same energy?
It's like it's basically a way to stamp I guess the way to put it is stand on business.
It's like, don't now, say it that wait, way.
Now,
try,
what does that
try
mean?
Another way.
What no, does that mean?
You don't like stand on business?
No.
Try
something
else.
I could
just get that right. Yeah.
Okay.
He said keep that same energy. Uh-huh. 100 emoji, which is that like saying
100% of the time?
No, it's not. Definitely not that.
No?
I think he's saying keep that same energy, 100, meaning I see you guys. I know what you're up to.
Then why wouldn't you use the eyes emoji for to say there's a visual?
Yeah, this is why I think stand on business kind of is where we're going.
I didn't hear what you said. What'd you just say?
Stand on business?
No, you're not saying anything. The phone's cutting out. Why?
So I'm saying stand.
I'm throwing up everywhere.
On
Can you
business.
Get someone to come clean up this table? There's vomit all over the place. Ryan, you're a young person. Why is he putting the 100 emoji after he says keep that same energy? I can only imagine it means he's going to average 4.1 yards per carry instead of 3.9 this year. That's my hope.
I believe what he's trying to say is he's trying to keep it 100. Trying to keep it 100.
He's keeping it above.
So he's able to keep it 100 while asking someone else to do something?
No.
Just with an emoji?
Keep it a buck. He's keeping it a buck.
I'm good on that. Okay. But I think he's personally keeping it 100%?
I think Ryan's right now that I think about this. He is keeping it real with you.
Well, this is incredible.
Yeah, you guys need to keep that same energy. I'm going to keep it real with you.
So he's able to do all of two separate things. Asking for everyone else. This is not an internal directive here. This is an external directive. All of you, keep your same energy. With a mere emoji, the lens is turned towards him. Here's 100% authenticity.
Yes.
I'm keeping it 100 myself.
I'm keeping you guys honest by keeping me 100 and a buck. Something like that. But so he's motivated. I'll bet he was motivated last year with a new coaching staff. That's the part I never get about this. It's like, y'all pissed off Brian Robinson now.
Okay.
Again, I like Brian Robinson. I think he's a good little football player. I want him on my team. I would just like someone who could hit a home run in the backfield to be my bell cow. And then Robinson comes in and gets the occasional carry. It's not disrespectful. I'm just keeping it a buck myself. He could keep it a buck. I'm going to keep it a buck.
Oh, wow.
I need 4.6 yards per carry, 4.7 yards per carry. Someone who occasionally turns 10 into 30. Someone that turns 27 into 77. Like, that's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. That's my 100 emoji. 800-636-1067 is the number. Do you guys foresee changes to the running back room, or is what we're seeing what we're going to get here? B-Rob, Eckler, McNichols, Rodriguez, Merritt. Is that the group? This is the fan.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network. Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. T-Mobile.com.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Taking you up to 6:30 on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The Commanders running back room is the topic at hand. Ben Standig was on the show last week. He said that he's not convinced the running back pecking order will look the same coming out of camp that it looks right now. Today I saw the ESPN.com story where they assigned homes to all the remaining best free agents. I just wanted to see, did they give anybody to the Commanders? J.K. Dobbins. 900-yard running back last year with the Chargers to Washington. Would have been probably an 1,100, 1,200-yard back if not for missing about a month, four-plus games with an MCL strain. If you look at his numbers in his career, they're better than the guys that Washington hands the ball to. Not Eckler per se, but like the Brian Robinson, Jeremy McNichols, non-third down, non-pass-catching type backs on this team. If you promise me he'd stay healthy, I could absolutely give him Robinson's carries, and it would be awesome. I just can't trust it. Multiple ACLs. He's had so many issues with the leg and the knees, even last year. Last year we're talking about where he was pretty good for the Chargers.
Yep.
An MCL sprain. Like, it is inevitable that he's going to miss time.
Without a doubt. And that's the part that I just kind of can't do. It's almost like every time he went somewhere, Harbaugh had to bring in another former Baltimore running back to help supplement him. Like, you can't just go, okay, we've got our running back spot solved. You've got to have depth. And you'd normally do for that spot anyway. It's such a high injury attrition rate. But now that you add in, if you add in J.K. Dobbins, you need someone probably just like that or similar to it. You just sort of need to overhaul the room. I don't know how much sense it makes or whether how realistic it is, but that is appealing for the games that he's available to you.
Barga of Gaithersburg, you're on Grant and Danny. Thanks for the call.
Hey, what's up, guys? Appreciate you having me on.
Sir?
Yeah. So, Danny, I missed you at your comedy set at a Give a Hoot in Gaithersburg. So next time you come, I got to check it out.
We'll do it, man. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, ultimately, will it make or break our chances to get back to where we were? I don't think so. But at the same time, it just puts too much of a burden on JD to be magical. And as the years go on this year, we want to decrease that burden from him and, be able to win without him going like Superman mode every game.
This is my mantra. That is my, and I appreciate the call as always, dude. That's my entire point all the time is the second year in this league has claimed a lot of people, or not claimed, has there been setbacks,
has
there been
won
disappointments
the fight with a lot of guys.
Yeah, and the idea, well, he's so great, nothing matters. No. Everything still matters, maybe even more now, right? It's that much more pronounced. You need the easy button for him, and that includes the running game. Remember, they were playing ball control down the stretch without a running game, save the Tennessee game where they basically quit and were packing for the number one pick. They could not run the football, so the running game was also Daniels. You can't make a guy do that. It's just it for sustainability purposes. They need to improve in a number of areas, and I think they got a nice kickstart there to their offseason with Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, but I think this is one of those spots where I'm tired of watching Brian Robinson bash his head against the line of scrimmage. Hopefully you guys are too, and you want something different.
I think also when you're running back, when your quarterback runs so much and you have a running quarterback like Washington does, the numbers get so skewed that it becomes hard to analyze rushing. Now, in other words, people will look at the offense, which was top 10, and the running game, which was third in yards per game and fourth in yards per play, and they'll go, what's your issue? You have to take the Daniels effectiveness and dominance at times, the excellence of Daniels as a runner out of it, and just look at the rushing from running backs. And that's where what you're saying is, Danny, correctly. I mean, they had a 20-carry, 60-yard game in New Orleans. There's no shortage of commitment here from Cliff Kingsbury. They stuck with it. They pounded the ball. And that's why they had a lot of fourth downs. They could because they were okay running it three times and having a fourth and one because they just got 9 yards, three per pop. And then Daniels makes you right either, mobility, running around the edge to get it, or keeping it and throwing it and picking it up. They felt okay with if they average 2.8 a pop and they run it three times in four plays, the other play is going to be something from Daniels. Shane's in Tennessee. What's up, Shane? How are you?
Hey, Commander Grant. How y'all doing today?
Buddy.
Look, here's the thing. I hope not. Because like you said, Grant, Eckler's one hit away from retirement. Let's call it what it is. And Robertson's just a bat around. And his career, I mean, if you keep doing that, you just can't sustain that. But, we had a chance to draft a guy, Dylan Sampson. I would go trade for it. Look, the Saints are starting all over. Alvin Kamara is going to win out. He's one of the best backs, the most underrated back in the NFL. If you look at the numbers with him and Christian McCaffrey, you wouldn't even know who's the better back, and it's Alvin Kamara. But it's not even close. Look at the stats. Stats don't lie. But we got to make some kind of trade and get for it. Hey, look, now we're playing for a Super Bowl. Ain't that crazy I'm saying that right now? That this city now is actually can be playing for a Super Bowl, and that should be their intentions right now. We do need that playmaker. This Deebo Samuel's trade is, that's all right, $20 million for and right now an average, if you will. His numbers are declining every year. But you know what? We do need an explosive back, someone that can catch the ball and come out.
That's what it is. It's an explosive weapon, right? You're paying a lot of money for that. You need him to be that guy. By the way, Deebo was at the Defenders game yesterday. I saw him on the sideline. I guess he went to school with one of the coaches on the staff for Bob Stoops of Arlington.
Oh, that's cool.
So he was just down there at like the 20-yard line, pretty much circuit to circuit all day. I saw him up in the club level getting food at one point. I'm like, that guy looks like Deebo Samuel. And then sure enough, he was down on the field getting interviewed on ESPN and ended up hanging out for the duration of the game, which was pretty cool to see. The Commanders' new team president addressed the stadium today. He was at an event, talked about the stadium, gave some details. We'll have that audio for you next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.